It is so good to have you here today. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand. Look him right in the eye and say, hey, you're beautiful. And I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Glory. Guys, don't miss this. This is your opportunity. Glory. Amen. I know this is Memorial Weekend. And I'm going to recognize the people you're supposed to recognize on Memorial Day. Now, if you're here breathing, this ain't your day. I appreciate the veterans, and if you're a veteran, God bless you and thank you for your sacrifice. But your day's in November. This day is for those that died, making the ultimate sacrifice for us to have liberty. Amen. Come on, see, some of y'all going, wait a minute, preacher. No. Veterans Day's in November. We celebrate Memorial Day. And this day was started in 1868 in a place called Waterloo, New York. A lot of people said this is where it started. That's the official place it started, 1868. They would come together, decorate the graves of the soldiers, and sing songs to them, and have a worship service in the graveyard. And it kept that way off and on until 1971. It became a national holiday to recognize those that have died in the conflicts our military has been involved in. Not just World War I or World War II, but maybe even in the Spanish-American War, Civil War, Revolutionary War, War of 1812. Amen. Isn't it amazing the War of 1812 happened in 1814? Glory. Never figured that out, but we give some weird names to that. Maybe even some died in Grenada. Some died in Iran. Some died in other areas. So wait a minute, preacher, we fought in Iran. There were some people killed when they stormed our embassy and took people hostage. And those men were just as much dying for freedom as anybody. And today is a day that we recognize them in the different national cemeteries and so forth. And this is a day we do the memory of those people that have died to give us liberty. And it is a day of remembrance, a day when we pay tribute to those that have passed on. Amen. As I said, you're a veteran. Thank you. But what about those people that didn't make it back? And every one of us probably has somebody in our family who died in some type of military action to give us liberty to come here and have the freedom that we have. And so, therefore, we have Memorial Day to represent those that have died and give us the liberties that we have in America that we sometimes take for granted. I tell you something that burns me up is when the VA hospital demands a chaplain not mention Jesus Christ while he's praying, and he had to go to court and the judge tell him, you're going to have the right to tell him that. Amen. And I got news for you, friend. I'm not ashamed of who I am, and if I'm praying, they're going to know who I'm praying to. I'm not going to be like the Methodist pastor that got up at the prayer meeting, and I wouldn't call his name, but anybody dumb enough to get in public and do this ought to be exposed. He got up and said, I pray to the great Holy Spirit, the ruler of all universe, the God of the Buddhist, the God of the Hindu, the God. And afterwards I said, what are you doing? He said, I don't want to offend nobody. I said, you're a Christian. You don't pray to Buddha. You don't pray to Hindus. You don't pray to Hare Krishna. Amen. Come on, church. I don't believe them gods exist. Why don't I pray somebody that doesn't exist? I'm praying to a God that does hear and answer his prayers, and I'm not ashamed of who I am, and therefore I'm praying to Jesus Christ. Hello? Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. I'm still amazed at the theology that the Israeli soldier had in Israel when the Muslims started praying. And I looked at him, I said, does that not bother you? He said, who's listening? And I'm like, I love it. Glory. Amen. It's a day to remember those that sacrificed and gave their lives to keep us free. entire nation to share the problems. It's the best nation of the world. It's still the best nation in the world. I don't care what's going on in America. You're better off than anywhere else. And I've been to a lot of those places, and I guarantee you those folks would die to get here. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. But now, as we remember those who fall in battle, I think it's good for us to remember somebody who was the first man to ever die in a righteous battle. That was Abel. Amen. You say, wait a minute, he didn't die for me, but he died for the cause. He died for right. Hello? You say, what are you talking about? Adam and Eve had two sons. One of them was a tiller of the ground. The other was a shepherd of sheep. They went to make their sacrifices, and Abel took the first fruit of his and gave it to God. And Cain just carries a sacrifice. Amen. Now notice this. The reason it wasn't accepted was it wasn't the first. He just took what he had. Can I tell you one thing I have a problem with is people who want to go to church and give God what they got left instead of their best? Come on, church. Amen. It never fails. You tell people, we're taking up food. They'll go through the pantry and find the stuff they won't eat and bring it and put it in there. Clean out my pantry. That stuff I bought I don't want. Why are y'all quiet? Do I need to amen myself? I'm not on gambling anymore. Come on. Glory. Take a gamble on me. Glory. But the truth of the matter is, we've got people, that's the way they are. We're going to raise food. They'll go through the pantry and find stuff they won't eat, bring it down here and say, let's give it to them. Amen. They're hungry. They'll eat anything. That's true, but I'd rather eat the things I'm eating. Hello? That's good preaching. Amen. Abel carries the best he had, gave it to God. And because of that, the Bible said God accepted Abel's sacrifice and deemed him to be righteous because he did that that was pleasing in the sight of God. But notice what happened. Cain did not. He brought a sacrifice that wasn't accepted of God. And so then he gets mad because Abel had a better sacrifice. And let's face it, he's my younger brother. He just messed me up. And the next day they're out in the field and they get in a confrontation. And notice what happened. God came to Cain and said, these things you ought to control. Genesis chapter 4, if y'all want to read that. Somebody says, I can't control the sin in my life. God told Cain, you ought to be able to control that that's evil in you. Amen. Come on, church. Well, that was before the fall. That's true. But it was also before salvation and grace and the anointing of the Spirit and the Word of God that ought to help us control the very things God said Cain ought to be able to control. Even more so now under the anointing of the Spirit, we ought to be able to control those things in our lives. Even, come on, church. I've always made this statement. It is so much easier to live for God than some people make it. Oh, preacher, I don't want to get sanctified. That's bondage. No, that's liberty. When you get sanctified, that means I live. I ain't got to worry. I'm not going to mess up because I'm living under the anointing of the Spirit and I'm walking in the presence of God and I'm living by His Word. That is not bondage, that's true liberty. Lord. Well, I make bad decisions. Then you make bad decisions because you got bad info. You put the Word of God in your heart, it'll be a light under your path that you might not sin against Him. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. I don't know what you're expecting on Memorial Day, but I want you to hear this message, the voice from the grave. Amen. You said, what are you talking about? I wonder when the Bible said Abel being dead yet speak. I wonder what he would say to us if he was talking to us today. I wonder what he would say to us on this Memorial Day if Abel could just walk out and talk to us. And you know, there was a man died and he went to hell and he told God, said, let me go back and tell my brothers about this awful place. You know what God said? He said, even if you went back and told them, it wouldn't change the way they live. Hello? But I believe we can listen to Abel. Listen, first of all, I think Abel speaks to us of the effects of sin can have on a person's life. Amen. Cain allowed sin to take hold in his heart, and he killed his brother Abel. I don't think he intended to kill him when he started. I think he got out there mad about what was going on, started wearing his brother out, and just got carried away and killed him. You think it was an accident? No. Because of an accident, I think God would have understood that. God knew he killed him out of anger. But he let his anger get control of him. He let his anger get the best of him. He let the sin that was in him take control of his life. I don't believe Cain started out to commit murder, but it didn't kill the fact that he did commit murder. As a result, God placed a mark on him. Scriptures tell us Cain said, oh, this that I have done, this punishment is more than I can bear. But I got news for you. It's not more than you can bear. It is the wages of sin. It is the very thing that happens to all of us. Amen. There's a way sin is. It's deceptive. It appears acceptable right the time, but it always ends in death. Amen. James chapter 1 verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So what does Abel want us to know? What sin can do to a life. It can rob us of God's best, both in this life and in eternity. You can't have sin in your life and be saved. Well, now, wait a minute, preacher. I heard a guy preach right the opposite. You heard a guy lie. Oh, I know it's going to get quiet now because you're, well, I'm a member of that church. Then you need to change churches. You need to get somebody preaching you the truth instead of telling you what you want to hear, because the Bible said in the last days many would heap unto them teachers having itching ears, listening only to that they want to hear. And see, the problem we got is folks are not asking what have I got to do to be saved. They're trying to figure out what they can get by with and still make it. And it's not that way. You've got to live a righteous life, and you've got to try to live right. Oh, but I got to sin every day. Not according to Scripture. Scripture says you do not have to sin every day. It said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? For know ye not that we were baptized unto Christ? We were baptized also unto his death. And like as Christ was raised from the grave by the glory of the Father, we all should walk in newness of life. While you're alive, you're breathing, you're going to sin. Not if you walk in the Spirit and live by the Word. You may mess up, but notice he didn't say when you sin. He said if you sin, meaning it's not going to be an occurrence that is normal to a Christian. Glory. This is popular, I can tell. Glory. Sad part about it is this is Scripture. What the other people are preaching to you is their theology. We don't need theology. We've heard enough of I believe. And I got to tell you, I believe, and what I believe is just as good as what you believe. I said, if it ain't based on the Word of God, it isn't. I don't care what you believe, if it's contrary to what thus saith the Word, it ain't going to help you at all. Because I'm not going to be judged on what I believe. I'm not going to be judged on what some theologian told me. I'm not going to be judged on what I deciphered from some book I read, unless it's the Bible, because I will be judged by the Word of God. Whew. That's good preaching. Amen. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 27, read it for yourself. And there shall in no wise enter in any thing that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which were written in the Lamb's book of life. Hello? Notice something. That ain't Ken Stroop. That's the Scripture. What does that say? It tells me that I'm not going to make it unless I keep the commandments of God and I live according to his commandments. And I think if Abel could tell you, he'd say, look, sin will rob you of eternity as well as messing you up in this world. Amen. You see, it's worth the life to live without sin, because sin will cause you to live in death every time. Hello? Secondly, I believe Abel speaks to us of the shortness of life. Let's face it, Abel was a young man. He had only been in life for a while, was just getting started good. I mean, ain't even been a woman born for him to have for a wife yet. Hello? Well, we're not sure, but we don't believe there was. There was Cain, there were Abel, that's the ones listed. We don't know if there were some others. We do know that Adam and Eve went on giving sons and daughters. They had another son, Seth, after these guys, one got thrown out and the other one died. And Seth became the one that brought the bloodline. But they were sons and daughters born to them. And somehow the earth got populated, so sooner or later they began to marry. But these are two guys that didn't even get life going good. And yet we've got people says, oh, preacher, I got the rest of my life. But how long is that? Any of you ever walk through a graveyard? You ever notice that there's no limit? Nobody has to live a certain number of days before they can die. You find little babies out there. You find old people out there. I mean, you know, there was a lady went through the storm in Tuscaloosa. They interviewed her on TV. She was 99 years old, and she laid on the couch in her apartment, and she said, I was laying there reading, and I heard something. And she said, I knew something was up when the skylight fell out of the ceiling and hit me in the face. Glory. She went, opened the door, and the young lady from the front they were interviewing said, she looked out the door. The porch was gone. She's on the second floor. She said she hung her head out the door. She said, what's going on? And said some of them got up and got her out. They were interviewing in the car. And she said, I'm 99. He said, what are you going to do? She said, I'm making it to 100 now for sure. Glory. You ride out of F4 or 5 tornado laying on your couch reading a book, you got a right to live to be 100. Glory. But how many children died in that tornado? How many people in the middle of their life died in that tornado? How many people who had just graduated from college and had life right in front of them? One who was fixing to graduate was killed because she went to her car to get a charger for a phone. Hello? I'm telling you, church, the one thing you got to realize about life is you have no guarantee how long it's going to be. And we keep talking about the Lord's going to come. Well, what happens if you die on the way home? What happens if you die in your sleep? I'll never forget the first time they done a sleep test on me at UAB and I woke up with a defibrillator in the room and a girl fixed to stab a needle in my heart because I'd been clinically dead for so many minutes and they were trying to bring me back and I did not even know I had died. And I'm thinking to myself, my Lord, if I've not been here tonight, I would have left this world and I would have not come back and I would have not known it was going to happen. I could not have done anything more to prepare, but I would have died like I was. And that's what scripture said. It is appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. How you live in this world is how you're going to make it to eternity. And that's why every day we live, I need to know that I know that I know that I'm ready for the Lord Jesus Christ, because life as we know it is short. Could you say amen? James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, yea, that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue this there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appear for a little time and vanish away. Whew. Psalms chapter 90, verse 10. The King James said, the days of our years are 80 years. And if a person of strength, they be 80 years. Yet in their strength, labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and they fly away. The New King James, just a little better wording. For the day of our life is 70 years. And if a person of strength, they could be 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and they fly away. Isn't it amazing that even back when they were writing the Psalms, God already knew man's lifespan was going to be in the 70s, possibly 80 if they live right? Glory. And now man tells us, well, we're going to make it to 70, 80. We keep working on the same. We're going to get you up to 90. Notice what he said. Said even if you live longer, it's just sorrow and trouble. Glory. Somebody asked me the other day, said, how long are you going to live? I said, do I quit breathing? Guarantee it. The minute I stop breathing, I'm out of here. Glory. Somebody said, well, what if I pray to bring you back? I might be like Earl Hall was when he was dying of cancer and he took Ken, his son, that's preached here. Ken riding him around. He looked at him. He said, look, I've been trying to get to heaven for 35 years. I'm almost there and y'all keep pulling me back. Let me go. Glory. Hello? So I said, you're in a hurry to die? No, but I'm not afraid of it anymore, because I realize if I die, I'm going to leave this world and end up in eternity with God. And as long as I got that hope, there is nothing for me to fear. Could you say amen? Glory. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. See, even if you live to be 80, what is that compared to how long this world's been in existence? Hello? If I live to be 80... I know America's 200-something years old, 300-something years old. Hello? So I'm really not that old. Man, just think about it. I get to heaven and walk down the gates. Hey, I made it to 80. Methuselah going, so? I remember when I was 80. I lived almost 900 more years and missed the boat. Hello? Think about it. You calculate it, you'll find out Methuselah died the same year of the flood. How come he wasn't on that boat with his grandson? Hello? Isn't it amazing a man lived 969 years and one connotation of his name is the flood cometh? So every time somebody yelled at him across the road, they were prophesying of what was coming. When his grandson started preaching, they thought he was crazy. Amen. And yet he lived 969 years, and all this wrote about that man is he died. Read it. It don't say he done anything but died. Genesis chapter 5, verse 27, if y'all want to read that. Glory. He just said Methuselah lived 969 years, and then he died. The only claim to fame is he's the oldest recorded living human being in the world. Hello? But life as we know it is short. I think Abel would speak to us of the salvation of a life. First Abel stands as a testimony of a life that refused to offer less than its best. Among other heroes of the Bible, he's listed in the Hall of Fame. Glory. Have you ever noticed Hebrews chapter 11 lists the Hall of Fame of God, and Abel's right in the middle of it because he was somebody who wouldn't give God nothing but his best. Amen. Come on, church, smile at me. Amen. I'll never forget one time I was struggling and I was talking to one of my coaches and I told him, I said, I can't buy a hit. He said, well, son, if you could hit 300, you can make the Hall of Fame. That's less than once every three times. And I'm like, yeah, but you got to stay at it a while. He said, granted, that's true. Glory. But the truth of the matter is, you just get the best you got and give it, and you'll be all right. But God doesn't need less than your best. Come on, church. That's why we can't get tied up in everything else, because we need to give God our best. Could you say amen to that, church? Too many people are just going with the flow. Oh, yeah, everybody's doing it, so that makes it okay. Huh? Didn't the Bible say something about us being peculiar people? And that means we're supposed to do things other people ain't doing. Come on, church. Well, we got this new thing. If it feels good, do it. Put a little weekend in your week. We got folks actually living their life according to commercials instead of scripture. Glory. Well, it don't influence me. It does everybody else. Most people in this building's got on a piece of clothing they bought because they seen it on TV and they want to be in. Come on, church. I mean, we'll pay $200 for a pair of tennis shoes that's worth about $20 because somebody had it on TV. Come on, church, smile at me. I got a friend's got a pair of tennis shoes that looks like his foot. It's got toes and stuff. And I told him, I said, that's the goofiest looking mess. He said, well, everybody's wearing them. I said, you won't ever see me with a pair of them on. Glory. And then when he told me what he paid for them, I said, well, why didn't you just wear your feet? Paint them jokers. It'd have been cheaper. Huh? Get you a bucket of paint, dip that foot in there and blow dry it. That paint's supposed to last 20 years. That's a whole lot cheaper than paying $200 for a pair of shoes that looks like your feet. Glory. Oh, come on, church. Smile at me. Amen. Secondly, I believe Abel stands a testimony of one more Satan couldn't get. Hello? Though Abel died early, he died saved and right with God. He meant because he had a testimony. He was righteous. And because of that, he spoke from the grave. His blood cried out for vengeance because he died a righteous man. I want to tell you something, honey. As long as I'm right, God's on my side. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, what are you getting at? I understand that if I'm living right, I'm going to get paid good. Amen. Somebody told me one time, said, what kind of job you got? I said, I'm a preacher. They said, don't pay much. I said, but I got a retirement that's worth it. Glory. Hello? Somebody said, you mean you got a good retirement? I don't know what I'm going to have down here. Don't care. I'm going to make it just like everybody else. If I have to stand in the door of Walmart and greet people, I'm going to do it. Hello? I may be like my daddy-in-law at 78. I may be driving nails until I just can't do something. But I got news for you. When I die, Oh, I got a retirement home that ain't nothing down here ever going to compare. I mean, I'm going to a place where there's no more sorrows, no more heartache, no more pain. That's worth everything I've give up down here. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Somebody said, oh, you just don't know what living is. You don't know what living is till you ain't worried, because you understand if I die, I know when I leave this world, I'm going to make it to the other side. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I like Job. Job sat there. His friend said, curse God and die. He said, I ain't going to do that. I'm going to tell you what, when the skin worms have got through eating this body, I'm still going to praise him, because he is my Lord and my Savior, and I know my Redeemer liveth, and I know in the flesh I'm going to see him. Hallelujah. Woo! That's what I live for. Well, Romans chapter 6 verse 23 tells you what you get if you're not living right. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. You said, wait a minute, preacher, you just said you're going to die. Right. I'm going to die a physical death, but I'm not going to die a spiritual death. Spiritual death, or the second death, is separation from God. That's why the Bible refers to us as being dead in our trespasses and sins, because if sin is in your life, you are segregated away from God and cannot come into his presence as long as that sin is in your life, because God can't stand sin. But if you get under the blood of Calvary and you have the cover of Jesus Christ and you are justified by faith through grace, then you got a right to come before his throne with boldness and make your request known unto him, because you realize I am a child of God. Could you say amen? You got to make up your mind. I'm going all the way. I'm not giving up. I'm not going back. Hello? Abel speaks to us of the influence of a life. Abel didn't die. He died a righteous life, and he lived. And because of that, he lives on. Hello? And because of that, he can speak to us even in this day. The greatness of man is not on how much he does in this world, but the kind of life he lived while he was in this world. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. For henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labor, and their works do follow them. Whatever good you do for God in this life won't only follow you to eternity, but it'll continue to live and impact the lives of others. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What is it Abel wants us to know? Number one, sin will destroy us. Number two, life is short. Number three, we don't have to be lost. And number four, our influence can live on forever. And let me point something out to you, church. Your influence, righteous or unrighteous, keeps moving through the generations. David sinned with his neighbor's wife. And though David repented, three of his children died because of his sin. Wait a minute, preacher. He had a son. He had one baby die. Who's the other two? Amnon raised his sister. Absalom killed him, and then Absalom had to be banished from the kingdom and eventually had to be killed. And all of that started because David brought that junk in his family. Hello? But you can also reave a residual of righteousness that will live in your family that they can't get away from. It could be a little thing you do, and y'all have heard this story, but I remember two great-grandfathers who built a building for a church to have church in. They were carpenters. Had no clue that people from that church would end up in Tuscaloosa County, that those people would end up in a place called Buell, Alabama, at Antioch Holiness Church, and that church would eventually come into the Church of God as one of the oldest Church of Gods in the state of Alabama, and that's Buell Church of God now. None of them thought about it. When my granddads, my great-granddads were building that building, they had no idea what they were doing. But they set in motion something. They got a church there. And one Sunday night, 50 years later, his great-grandson comes strolling in the building, a drug addict, alcoholic, and he gets saved and he becomes a minister of the gospel. Amen. Because they drove nails, they saw a residual in their family that brought them down. Amen. I remember when I buried my granddad, I had the privilege of preaching a man's funeral who had been saved for 85 years, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'll never forget, every time I'd leave his presence, he said, if I don't see you down here, son, I'm going to see you over yonder. Amen. And all he talked about was going home, going to go home, going to get to go home. I never forget, he was living in an assisted living place, 97 years old. He kept talking about going home, and I carried him to his old house where he lived, and we got out there and cleaned all the grass out of the yard because he'd gone back to the old days when you didn't keep grass. I'm watering it to get it green. He just kept it all gone. I said, Papa, why don't you want grass? He said, you can tell when farmer's been in the yard. All of a sudden, he said, look, there's a snake going under the house right there. I said, really? What good does it do to know that? He said, I'm going to catch him. Got a shoebox, put glue in it, some peanut butter in the end of it, stuck it down there. The next day, I go by there, there's a chicken snake stuck in that shoebox on that glue. Poor little fella's laying there. Of course, I did to him what I do to those rats. I find stuck on them things. Bow! I handled him. Glory. Hello? Send him on to glory. And I'm over there visiting one day, and the preacher's with me, and he said, I want to go home. And that guy said, well, why don't you take him over there? I said, he don't want to go to that old house he built when he was 16 years old. He's wanting to go to heaven to be with my grandmother. He's wanting to go be with all those people he's wanted to be with all these years. And I'll never forget the last time I saw him. All he could say was, I want to go home. I'm ready to leave this world. I've lived right. I'm ready to go. I want to tell you the greatest thing that could ever happen to him was when I see him pass from this life with the pain and the heartache into a joyous place on the other side. And I made up my mind, that same Paul that taught me how to pray, that same Paul that taught me how to get a hold of God, that same Paul that taught me how to believe and trust in him, it's a godly man, and I can follow in his footsteps. If Abel were to talk to you today, he'd say you're leaving a residual for somebody to follow. Whether you like it or not, people are watching you. And on this Memorial Day, the memories of who we are ought to register in people's lives. Stand with me all over the house. I believe Abel would say to us today, if you live the kind of life, notice something. He didn't live long, but he got his name written in the Hall of Fame. My grandparents used to pray for us every day. They'd been around a long time, had a lot of old stuff. My papa passed away. The cousins showed up at the house. I'm going to get my part. They were five kids. I didn't know they had a part. But they were up there getting silverware, and two of them was fussing over the oak table. I said, why don't we just cut it in two? Both of you take half. One of them looked up and said, what are you getting? I said, I already got my inheritance. Papa gave it to me a long time ago. Do you know one of them called the lawyer, wanted him to find out what my granddaddy gave me? So afraid I was going to get something that they didn't get. They lived in the town he lived in and hardly ever went to see him. I lived 120 miles away and spent more time with him than they did. I'd go through headed to revival and I'd be driving in the middle of the night. I remember stopping at his house one morning about 5 o'clock, knocked on the door. He opened the door, stuck a pistol in my head, said, and I heard it cocked and I went, Papa! He said, boy, you get killed like that. I said, I realize that now. I know some of y'all said, he wouldn't have shot you. Don't tell them fellas that tried to rob him, because a guy walked up, stuck a gun to his head, said, give me your money, and he just turned around and shot the fella. jumped out of the car chasing the other guy, shot windshields out and headlights out. He paid for about six cars to get fixed. He said, I got him, old buddy. But I went in there that morning and laid down, go get me a little nap before I went to church, and I woke up. And he was laying over me and said, God, touch my baby. Anoint him to do your work. My cousins were so dumb, they got me to go with my mom while the lawyer was going to read out the will. And they said, they didn't tell us what he got. And I said, he taught me how to pray. He taught me how to touch God, how to live right, how to believe in God. And I said, he could have taught every one of y'all that, but you're too busy trying to get what he had when you didn't really get what he had. You got his junk. Hello? Because none of that's going to make it. But what he taught me is going to make it forever if I just hang on to it. Father, we thank you today, God, for your word, for your love, for your presence. God, have your way in Jesus' name.